This Advent, we've been going through some different prophecies of the prophet Isaiah, who has a lot of detail about the coming Savior, who, of course, is Jesus. And it's very fitting that the theme of the children's thing was joy. You can see the letters over there. Because the third candle that we just lit today on the Advent calendar, the pink one, it symbolizes joy. And so far with the three candles, we have hope, peace, and joy, which we get to talk about and focus on, you know, this Advent time of season where we prepare for the coming of Jesus. And so today we're also going to focus on another word, as you can see up there, comfort, which is how this passage starts. But let me ask you all, how many of you like comfort? Anybody? Anybody appreciate being comfortable? Well, I got a picture here I want to show you. This is a picture of my Lazy Boy, and it's not just any Lazy Boy. It's a Lazy Boy Big Boy edition. And I'm not kidding. It's made for those that are 6'4" and older. This is actually, I've had this chair longer than I've had kids. It's 20 years old, and the beauty of this Lazy Boy is when I kick my feet up, you can push the foot out so that it extends. Isn't that awesome? It's awesome if you're 6'4". If you're shorter, it's not as comfortable, but whenever I get home, it's got to be comfortable because there's always somebody in my house sitting in this chair when I get home, but they also know the rule. When Dad gets home, you got to get up out of the chair because this is my comfortable chair. But so comfort is the theme of this message here. At the passage we're going to read from Isaiah, there's four different questions I wanted to tackle in regards to comfort in Isaiah chapter 40. So let's get into it. Verses 1 and 2. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So just a little context here to Isaiah, the prophet, who is around before Jesus was born, around 700 years, that at this time, Isaiah is envisioning and telling the people that Judah is going to fall and that God's people are going to be taken as prisoners into Babylon, who has taken them over, and they are going to be exiles in Babylon. And there's going to be a lot of pain, hurt, sorrow. They're going to feel like God has abandoned them when this all goes down. And all of this has happened, of course, because the people have put sin, number one, in their lives, and they have turned their backs on God and His word. It doesn't sound like any country I know of, does it? Turning their back on God's word. But that's why the Bible is so much relevant to today, 2022, because we experience the same kinds of things that God's people experienced in 700 BC. Because we have to deal with pain, hurt, and sorrow. And sometimes we feel, you know, maybe like God has abandoned us in all this. So the first question I have here from these verses is, what is this comfort that Isaiah is talking about? And that's the answer there. This comfort is our sin is pardoned. More on that in a second. So one phrase that jumped out to me, the first phrase that jumped out to me in these first two verses is it says, her warfare is ended. And what that made me think of, because we just celebrated, it's not necessarily a celebration, but we remembered a few days ago the attack on Pearl Harbor, which was an event that brought much pain and sorrow and hurt. It's what brought us into World War II. And I love history. I love war history of our nation. I like to read books about it and all that stuff. And it also then reminded me of the 4 years later, so 1941 is when Pearl Harbor happened, and in 1945, There was a VJ day and a VE day. Do you remember those? Or at least learning about them in school? Those days brought great celebration and comfort to the American people because the war was over, we were done with the war. And so that's what I thought of here. God is telling his people that her warfare has ended, which is going to bring comfort. And then I said that here, the answer to this question is our sin is pardoned. And at the end there, it says that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. In other words, there is so much grace that God is giving his people, giving us, that it's double the amount of sins that we've committed. That's how much grace is oozing out of God and how much grace he has for us. And our sin is pardoned. I looked up this word in law lingo. It means a release from the penalty of an offense. In other words, we've been declared guilty in the court of God because of our sin. But we are being pardoned from that because of what Jesus is going to do for these people and what he did do for us, which is die on the cross for all of our sins. And so that's what this comfort is all about here in Isaiah. Our sin is pardoned. So let's go on here, verses 3 through 5. A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So my question here from these verses is, how do we prepare to receive this comfort? Just knowing it's there is one thing, but how to receive it, preparing ourselves to receive this comfort. And that's what Advent's all about, is preparing ourselves. Again, not only for the celebration of Jesus' first coming, but also his second coming, because he's coming back. And this is preparing ourselves for his second coming. And the answer to this is, we prepare to receive this comfort by feeling and knowing our sins. It's important for us to understand that we really are poor, miserable sinners, because it reminds us then that we need a Savior. We need to know that we are pardoned. We can't take care of this situation that we are all on our own, which is why we do confession absolution in every worship service, to help us to remember that we are sinners, and it's a chance for us to confess our sins. And this passage here that I just read is also a prophecy about somebody else. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. A voice cries in the wilderness. And this is a prophecy about John the Baptist, who was the one that came and prepared the way for Jesus. And if you remember, the people were coming out to John the Baptist to receive a baptism of repentance. They came and confessed their sins and received this baptism of repentance, which is why this is what we are to do daily, reminding ourselves that we are in need of God's grace and forgiveness. And again, this is where it all comes back to that comfort. This is what that comfort is that we have. So let's go on, verses 6 through 8. A voice says, "Cry." And I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." How many of you mow grass? Does anybody mow grass out there? So, you know, in the spring and the summer, we have usually beautiful grass. You know, it's nice and luscious and green. And now it's not so much, is it? It's brown, dying, looks not that great. And Isaiah here is comparing us to grass. Grass comes and goes. James in the New Testament puts it this way. Listen to this. For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Wow, doesn't that just bring the holly jolly time of year? You are just a mist that appears for a little while and then vanish. You are grass that just fades away. So that's why I have this question here. Why do we need this comfort? Because we know from Scripture that our sin equals death, which is what's being talked about here, that the grass dies. Our flesh is like grass. You know, our life is but a mist that appears. And if you look at the grand timeline of things, our life here on this earth is minuscule compared to the amount of time that we will be with Jesus in heaven forever. And so this brings us comfort because sin equals death. We know we are going to die in this world at some time. But the comfort comes because God took care of our salvation for us by sending Jesus that first Christmas. So let's go on here to the last three verses of Isaiah 40 that I'm going to read here, 9 through 11. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. And so the question I have here is, how does this comfort come to us? And this is key. God is the one who comes to you, comes to me. It's not the other way around. Again, I say, you know, if it was up to me, it was left up to me to come to God on my own, I'd be in trouble. But God is the one who comes to us, and he came to us that very first Christmas in flesh and blood, in human flesh and blood, for that sole purpose of living a perfect life on our behalf and then taking God's wrath of our sin in our place on that cross. That excruciating death that Jesus went through for us, having nails driven into his hands, shedding blood, having a crown of thorns pressed into his head, all the stuff Jesus went through was for each and every one of us. And so this comfort comes to us truly in the humble and gentle Jesus. I want to read that verse 11 again in Isaiah 40, where it says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. And I want to read something else to you here. You know, I love the crimson thread thing where the whole Bible is tied together beautifully by Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 10, which is very similar to what I read in Isaiah 40. Where it says this, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Which is exactly what Jesus did. And this is the awesome thing about Jesus. Not only is he our good shepherd, he is a shepherd that became one of the sheep, with the sole purpose of laying down his life for the rest of us sheep. And then it made me think, you know, I was inspired, you know, by the children up here in that first service when they were singing and stuff. It reminded me of a song, maybe some of you know, heard of it before. But what it boils down to is I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.